Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. We're fascinated by childhood. We're fascinated by people's childhoods for some reason. We always want to know the story. What were they like when they were little? People love that when I put up kid pictures on my Facebook. Oh, you were so cute as a kid. You know, we all get our window of cuteness. That was it when I was like 3 or 4. We're fascinated with childhood. We want to know everything about somebody in their childhood. I'm not sure why this is. Perhaps it's a reflection of how we idealize childhood, as though it were some kind of pure and innocent state. We always try to look back and to see if there are any indications in one's childhood of how the person was going to come out as an adult. You try to look backwards, you know. My parents tell me that every Sunday after church, I would go home and set up a box in the basement and I'd preach. Perhaps some indication of what lay ahead, I don't know. The funny thing is, there isn't much about the childhood of Jesus. And boy, would we like to know, wouldn't we? Luke tells us of his circumcision and his naming on the 8th day. That was yesterday, in case you missed it. And Luke tells us then of his presentation and redemption in the temple when he was 40 days old. Matthew tells us about a hasty flight to Egypt to escape Herod and then the return to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up in a carpenter's house, the son of the carpenter, probably learning Joseph's trade, working side by side with his surrogate father in the shop. Surprisingly, though, there's nothing unusual to report concerning Jesus' childhood. Now, some later Gospels, the Gospel of Thomas and other later ones, made up some miracle stories to spice things up just a bit. But the first century record has nothing further to say about the childhood of Jesus, which is kind of unusual, I think. Because you'd expect holiness to stick out just a little bit, wouldn't you? You'd expect that when the Word becomes flesh, when the eternal second person of the undivided Holy Trinity takes on flesh and makes his appearance in this world, there might be something just a little bit different about him. You'd expect to be able to pick Jesus out in a crowd, wouldn't you? Yeah, there he is, over there, second one from the left, the one with the glowing nimbus around his head. And even if he didn't exactly glow with heavenly brightness, which ordinarily he didn't, you'd at least expect him to be different in character, perhaps. Like that really good kid in Nazareth. You know, the one who was so good, everybody kind of wondered what was wrong with him. He wasn't like the other children. What's it like to be 12 and sinless? You'll never know, will you? Nor will I. Yeah, that kid preaching in the basement was a sinner. And our current crop of 12-year-olds isn't going to help us in this either, I assure you. So, can you imagine, as parents, can you imagine what it must have been like to have a sinless 12-year-old running around your house? No, you can't. None of us can. That's because we're born steeped in Adam's sin. We've inherited the condition. There's no way out of it. That's why we baptize the little ones as soon as possible, like today. It's a good example. They are all born. We are all born with that inherited disease from Father Adam. But not so Jesus. He's born human flesh of his mother, but he is God of his father. He has no earthly father. He's not descended from Adam. He's the seed of the woman. He does not inherit his father's disease. Instead, he inherits his father's holiness and divinity. He is Adam 2.0, humanity without the stain of sin. And the really weird thing about this is that nobody notices. His teachers in the temple are amazed at his wisdom, which seems well beyond his years. The other son of David, Solomon, prayed for wisdom. This son of David is God's wisdom incarnate. And yet, see, the amazing thing is the teachers are amazed. It surprises them. Because for all intents and purposes, to look at him, he is indistinguishable from any other 12-year-old in Jerusalem in the temple, which is also why they lost him. They brought Jesus to Jerusalem that year to be taught and examined by the temple teachers. The custom was that all men had to appear in Jerusalem 3 times a year for the various feasts, including the Passover. And so this year, Jesus' 12th year, was his year of preparation. The next year, when he was 13, he would be expected to take his place with the men of Israel. Now I want you to stop, breathe, and ponder that thought for a second. 13 years old and considered a man in Israel. Notice that at the end of this reading it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. But early, the first verse, verse 40, they had to put it in brackets. See, the child grew. Jesus isn't there. The child grew and became strong. He's a child at 12. But now the teachers of Israel declare him to be a man. No longer a child, but a man. 12 is the turning point. Ah, those days before adolescence became a state of being. Wasn't it wonderful? Adolescence, the time that we indulge childishness in an adult body. Couldn't he just hang out in the mall for 4 or 5 years? In Jesus' day, a child was prepared for adulthood, not for adolescence. A young girl was prepared to become a wife and a mother. A young boy was prepared to join the men of Israel, to take up his father's vocation, to be the spiritual head of his household. This was Jesus' last year as a child, which is why Luke records the incident. This is it. This is the cap of the narrative of Jesus' childhood. And so when Luke picks it up again in the next chapter, it's when Jesus is 30 years old and revealed in his baptism by John to be the Messiah of Israel. And so for the next 18 years, Jesus lives in absolute utter obscurity as the carpenter from Nazareth. So you might say that holiness has dirt and splinters and sawdust under his fingernails. There are at least two things that we can glean from this reading today that are important for us and for our salvation. The first thing is this, that Jesus was obedient to his parents. He kept the fourth commandment. Though he was Lord, their Lord, he obeyed them as their son. Though he was the wisdom of God in the flesh, he was obedient and respectful to his teachers in the temple. He came under the law for us. This is part of his work, to fulfill the law in our place, to keep it perfectly down to the last stroke of a pen. See, that's what's underneath his circumcision. That's what's underneath everything that happens to him as a child, his obedience. He is obedient to the law for us. His presentation in the temple, his appearance here in the temple. He is obedient to the law in our place for our salvation. He is being prepared, yes, not only to be numbered among the men of Israel, he is being prepared to participate in his unique Passover liturgy. And that is the Passover that he does when he sacrifices himself on the cross under the law. And that preparation begins with his circumcision yesterday and it continues with his obedient life under the law, what we hear today, and it all culminates in his perfect death under the law to save us. We call this Jesus' state of humiliation, his humbling. His humbling in obedience even unto death on a cross. Mary and Joseph could not have known that frantic day what the future would hold for their son. No parent knows what the future holds for their children. The angel had only told them that he would save his people from their sins. He didn't tell them how he would save his people from their sins. Mary and Joseph were frantic that day, as any parent would be. They searched high and low, looking throughout the crowded city, searching for Jesus. In 20 years, Jesus would go to his appointed hour on the cross, and again, Mary would be there at the foot of the cross, this time without her husband Joseph, who was probably dead. And she would know what it meant that he had to be in his father's house, that he had to do his father's will. But for now, for the moment, she treasured all these things in her heart, just as she pondered what the shepherds of Bethlehem had told her that night he was born. He was obedient to them and to his teachers under the law. That's the first thing to remember on the second Sunday of Christmas. His obedience is your obedience. His obedience is his gift to you. This child of Bethlehem was born to be like us in every way, except without sin. Growing up in a household, growing up under parents, going through infancy, childhood, yes, even adolescence, learning, playing, working. Every facet of Jesus' life reflects your life, except one thing, no sin. He is without sin. And it is done so ordinarily that no one even notices that there's something different about this Jesus. Mary and Joseph seem even to have lost sight of what the angel had told them in their moment of panic. Your father and I have been so anxious. And there comes the gentle reminder from 12-year-old Jesus. Didn't you know I have to be in my father's house? Remember, Mom. Remember who my father is. And so, never say it is human to sin. Never say that. It's not human to sin. Jesus did not sin. And yet he was perfectly, completely human. So perfectly and completely, no one even noticed. A second thought for today is this, that God works hiddenly, humbly, subversively. We see this throughout the Christmas story and throughout Jesus' childhood. His divinity is buried deeply, completely hidden from human eyes. He appears to be just another 12-year-old in the temple, precociously bright, yes, theologically engaged, certainly. But no one said, hey, this kid is God. Mm-mm, nobody would say that. And you and I would have missed the point, too, just as Mary and Joseph did not understand. We probably would have lost Jesus in the crowd. And we certainly would not have understood what he was saying when he said, I must be in my Father's house. Because the incarnation of God is like that. It's beyond our understanding. It just doesn't fit our categories, our way of thinking, our pious notions of how God should be. God is man, and man is God in this Jesus. God is a 12-year-old. Whose parents momentarily lose him. The one thing you can't say about Jesus is that he doesn't know what it's like to be one of us. He really is Emmanuel, God with us, and with us so hiddenly and so humbly and so subversively, we wouldn't have noted. And that's precisely the way he works among us, not in the seen, but in the unseen. Not in the powerful and the mighty and the glorious, but in the lowly and the humble and the inglorious. A manger, a cross, a child, a teenager, a man. He is us. He is you. He embraces your life in all of its humanity. He even knows what it's like to be chewed out by his parents when he didn't do anything wrong. That hiddenness is not understood. Not today, not ever. nor can it be. Who Jesus is and what he's done must be revealed to us and must be seen through the gift of faith. There's no other way. Mary treasured these things in her heart. That's where it belongs. And that treasured up word had its way with her, creating and enlivening a living faith in her Son, God's Son. The same Jesus comes to you today in that hidden and subversive way in baptism, in word, in supper, so easily ignored, so easily despised and rejected, as easily dismissed as a 12-year-old kid in the temple. But the word says there's something more here that meets our eyes, that meets our reason, that meets our senses. This is the power of God to save you from sin, death, hell, the law. God in the flesh, come to save you. A perfect obedience to the law that is yours, not by what you do, but by what he has done. Life in death because of one obedient Son of God. One perfect death, one perfect life lived in the flesh. And so once again, on the second Sunday after Christmas, our joy is Emmanuel. God is with us. The baby of the manger, the child in the temple, the man of the cross, the Word made flesh dwelling among us to save us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.